Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armaline.
Amen, amen. Well, this is, again, we're on a series called Everything Changed. And the more I dive in, the more I realize truly everything changed. You know, Good Friday is incredible because everything changed the minute. There's a video. We can't, unfortunately, play videos. It gets into copyright issues when we're airing online. And what we'll try to do, maybe, Josh, if you can make note of this, we'll post it. But just lost his name out of Singapore. Joseph Prince has a, you should know out of Singapore, right, Pascal? Joseph Prince made a while back this video that just so portrays the final seconds on the cross. We have played it before, but, you know, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and we think it's just this death, but in that moment, he is taking on all the sin of the world. He's taking on all the pain, all the abuse. He's taking on just everything. You could see it coming into him. And at the very end, because it's torture, you know, not only is the cross torture, the pain is torture, but he's taking on the heaviness, the weight of sin. He's never sinned. He's a perfect lamb. And it tries to portray this. And just my favorite line at the very end is that he just looks up to the Father and he yells out, he goes, "Finished!" And then he dies. And you know, in that moment, he took the sin of the world and it was finished. Like, it's such a powerful portrayal because it's trying to show in the spirit, we could see what's happening or we can imagine what's happening in the natural. Sometimes it's hard to understand in the spirit. But in that moment, everything changed. Everything changed. And then we have Resurrection Sunday. Why don't you open to John 20. I love, and we've joked about this before, but I so love how John wrote the Gospels. Gospel, in this case, John. John 20 says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb." Just to, in case you didn't know the story, Jesus dies, he's placed in a tomb. And then because of the fact that he had said that, he would rise or different things, they not only rolled a stone that would be heavy for anybody to try to take away, they posted guards because they said, listen, well, the Jewish leaders said, we're afraid they're going to come and take the body away and say that he's alive and he's not really dead. And so they wanted to make sure that that could not happen. So that's kind of where we pick up the story. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb while it was still dark and they saw the stone. Sorry, just to back up a second too. She went to the tomb. Another gospel says that she had embalming oils. And I tried to bring to light the fact that even as he said that he would rise again, they didn't expect him to. She was going to the tomb to embalm him once again because this is it. That's why you'd go to the tomb. So she gets there and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. So who is she thinking? What is she? Her first response is not, he's risen. Her first response is, somebody stole the body. So we always have to keep in mind, we can write a narrative thinking they knew everything that was going on. They did not. They just didn't put two and two together yet. So they had taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciples and were going to the tomb. And this is where I find it hysterical. This is how we know that real humans wrote the Bible. People that had flaws and different things. So they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb. John writes the fact that he beat Peter to the tomb. There is no other significance other than I was faster than Peter. Just writing that in there so everybody knows. That's why I love these people. Because wouldn't we do that? You know, we're telling a story. Oh, by the way, I caught the bigger fish. I know it's not relative, but just letting everybody know I caught the bigger fish. We do this as people. And he, stooping down, this is John now, looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who came Why doesn't he use his name? Then myself, John. No. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed. For as they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away. Did you read that? For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their homes. You know, a lot of times when we're trying to share about the Lord, I think one of the things I want to learn to do and help you to do is we complicate things with religion. We try to, you know, we want to share the gospel, and we try to share so much that we can complicate it. And I think about, you know, everything changed when this moment happens. And we read a little further, and Mary actually sees Jesus, and he says, hey, you can't touch me. I haven't gotten to the Father yet. And then she goes back and tells the disciples, and then the disciples are gathering in a room together later on that night, and he walks in through a locked door and shows himself living. How many think in that moment everything changed? The man that said he was the Messiah dies on Friday. I started the series with Saturday sucks because they lost all hope. And now we're on Sunday and he rises from the dead and shows up to all. And there are so many records of him showing up. So when a man is dead and shows up alive, that changes everything, right? And so how many think that when Peter and the disciples, when they went to go tell the story of Jesus, how many think that they started with, well, let me tell you the history? Or how many think they started with, listen, all I know a lot of this is confusing, but all I know is the man was dead and now he's alive, right? I think of Andrea and Ryan. You know, you may have, there's a complication in your story, but all I know is that they can go, listen, I couldn't have children. The doctors weren't sure if I'd ever be able to have children, but I had a child. God is good. There's a story to turn to for them. In the dark days of the last 3 years and the confusion and the stuff, I'm thankful that I can, sometimes I have to go back to what do I know to be true? Then I know the word to be true, but there's moments I have to go, listen, I'm confused, but the one thing I know of, I had a blood disease and I was born deaf. But Catherine Coleman, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, calls out, a baby in London, Ontario has a blood disease and he's healed in Jesus' name. And that's me and I'm instantly healed. Yeah, and that's a bona fide miracle. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know about all the other stuff that's going on, but what I do know is that Jesus healed. And then I was healed of being deaf. I know that Jesus heals. So when it gets confusing, sometimes I go back to that. He heals. He heals. I'm realizing sometimes we overcomplicate it, but I want to get to the fact everything changed the moment that he died and everything changed the moment that he said, death has no hold on me. I'm rising from the dead. I want to backtrack just a little bit. Would you turn with Exodus for a second? Last week we talked quickly about Passover. One of the things I hope you really pulled from it, during the first Passover when the plague was coming, the 10th plague, turn to Exodus. I'm going to give you the address. Get to around the 25 mark. Exodus 33. One of the things I really hope you got last week was the fact that on the first Passover, they had to kill a perfect lamb, and they killed this lamb, and they had to put it on the doorposts. And that the word that I couldn't remember, the Hebrew symbol is shet, S-H-E-T, and it actually means life. And so here they're putting the blood on the doorpost to make sure that death didn't come in, and it's actually the symbol of life. And the one thing I really wanted to make sure that they didn't look at their family, it didn't say those that were righteous don't have to do it. Those that are unrighteous, make sure you do it. It was basically everybody needed the blood. And so it had to be done. You couldn't just, you know, go to church or in that sense, the community. You couldn't just be in the community and go, well, I'm part of a community. I don't have to personally do this. No, everybody had to personally have the blood on their doorpost. The righteous and the unrighteous. And aren't you thankful that it takes care of both sides? Because even when we think we're righteous, how many know we're not really that righteous? The problem is the minute you think you're righteous, you're actually unrighteous because you're actually self-righteous. Right? If you think you're all that in a bag of chips, as Pastor Rod always says, then you actually are becoming self-righteous. So they come out of Egypt. They have another incredible moment where the sea parts. They walk through it. But then we're in the wilderness, and turn to Exodus 33. We have a moment. I want to tie in the cross and resurrection with something that happens here. Moses, Exodus 33, 7 to 11. So God's making a covenant, a new covenant. They were in the Abrahamic covenant. Now God's going to make a new covenant with Moses. But here's the incredible thing. Moses, this is starting at verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. This is the first time we're going to see that word tabernacle come up. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose. Each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle, also known as a tent of meeting. I'm adding that in there. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. This is the first incredible time that we have something being made that's actually going to have God in it. And it says that God would come down in the form of a cloud, and all the people would stand around, and the cloud would descend on the tent, and Moses would go in and talk with God face to face. This is the first time we have this happening. This is incredible. Talking face to face to God. The cool thing is they would all watch it, and then they would worship like, this is amazing. Somebody is talking to God. It wasn't them, but somebody was talking to God, the creator of the world. Incredible. Amazing. And so what we have here is it's the tabernacle. And eventually, if you follow the story, they would pick God up. God was in the Ark of the Covenant. They would pick him up and they would travel with him and they'd put it down and they would make the tabernacle there, the tent, and God would be there. And then later on, David becomes king. This is years later, and he's like, I get to live in an incredible house. He can't be in a tent. God can't live in a tent. God didn't live in the tent, but in their eyes, he did. So what does he do? He makes a temple, an incredible temple. Now, what you need to understand about the temple is, you know how many people got to go into where God was? One time a year, into the Holy of Holies, one time a year. And by the way, it was Aaron, Moses' brother. It was his lineage and his lineage only. Now, I'm not sure, honestly, if it was a good thing or a bad thing if you were to get to be a priest, because if you weren't officially cleansed the way you were supposed to be, you could drop dead in God's presence. So I'm not sure if that was a, you know, yay, I'm part of the lineage, or yay, I get to go into the Holy Holy. I'm not sure. But all I want you to know is one person, one time a year into the Holy of Holies. It's not a lot of people that get to be with God. You follow the story through. It's interesting that at some point, because the Ark was in the Holy of Holies, and at some point in history, armies invaded and they lost it. I think it's actually kind of funny that they rebuilt. Later on after the captivity, they came back and rebuilt the temple. It wasn't even close to the glorious days that it was. They rebuilt the temple, put up the Holy of Holies. And I'm like, God wasn't even, if they believed God was in the ark wasn't there anymore. Where is he? But that's what they did. They put the veil up, It was no longer a wall, it became a veil, and God was behind the veil. And the same thing, one priest, one time a year. Fast forward to the days of Jesus. You know, you read about it. By the way, there is one temple in Jerusalem. There is not like hundreds of temples. We have churches and we think of this, God shows up. They had one place where they could go and they could only get so close to God. It was torn with the veil, or the veil was there. I already just, you know, gave the end of the story, which you already know. Oh, I ruined it. No, joking. You guys already know. But it's interesting because I was looking, there's many synagogues where they go and learn, but there was only one temple where, by the way, the Jewish people went to go see God. But again, they could only get so close. But the priest would go in, the high priest, the only one that was allowed. But then on the day of Good Friday that we just passed, you know, we say again the term everything changed, but do we realize if that day had never happened, did you know that we, first of all, wouldn't even be invited? We're Gentiles. We're not even invited to the party. So Jesus says, it is finished. And scripture says, I don't have time to go into all the scriptures. Scripture says in the moment that he dies, literally, the veil is torn from the top to the bottom, which is interesting because when a father would grieve, he would often tear his robe from the top to the bottom. I think it possibly is Father God grieving in heaven of the pain that his son just went through. But here's the thing. The veil is torn and the Holy of Holies is opened and totally exposed. And here's the thing, because they do go and they fix it later on and they still try to do what they always do. But here's the thing, in that moment, Jesus left the building. Jesus left the building never to return. Go back to John with me. We're gonna finish up that story. I'm gonna give you an analogy while we're turning there. It's probably, you know, you could tell me if it's too early or not to have an analogy like this. Thinking about the pandemic. You know, they have these labs all over, hopefully not all over, but there are labs around the world that deal with deadly viruses. If you've ever seen any movies about the deadly virus, you can go back to chapter 20 if you haven't yet, of John. If you've ever watched the movie of these deadly viruses, I was thinking about it today, of this is kind of what it was like to me. The preparation that that scientist goes through to go into that lab, the center of the building that is like super closed off, like they take every precaution because they got Ebola. They've got these nasty things in there that will wipe out the world. And so they do like a priest would do in my eyes. They put on these suits. And it is like this process that they have to go through. They don't just nonchalantly do it, hoping that maybe everything's closed up. Like they go head to toe. They check every part. They usually do it in partners. And that partner is checking to make sure every check and balance is done. And then they go into this room and I know that there's a decontamination coming out. I don't know if there is going in, but they go in and they hook up to the oxygen and they're in this room. And there are so few people in the world that are allowed to go into that room. I wouldn't want to. It's kind of like the whole priest idea. I'm like, that's not a job that I would want. Let's go play with Ebola. But here's the thing. We'll use Ebola. Ebola's in there. And they go and they get to study Ebola. And then they leave it in there. And then they step back and they go through the whole contamination process and they take off their suit. And if they've done it right, Ebola stays in there, they come out. It is what the gospel looked like in the Old Testament. Now here's the thing, and we just experienced this through a pandemic. I don't know what the answer is to how it happened. So just get that, whether it was a lab or a bat or something else. But here's what I do know. Turn to John. We're going to read a scripture, then I'll share the rest of it. John 21. He walks through the door. John 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them as he walks through the door, peace to you. And I always love that because if I saw a dead man walking through a door that was locked, I would need to hear those words too. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Okay. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Earlier in John, he said, I can't stay. I have to leave because I'm going to send you a helper. And here he says, hey, I'm back. And then I'm going to breathe on you the Holy Spirit. And then a few short days later, they're going to have an infilling of the Holy Spirit. So you've got the lineage of Aaron, one man, one priest, one time a year, and only his family can go into the Holy of Holies throughout history. The day of the cross, he yells out, it is finished and the veil is torn. What's the difference? We watched it with the pandemic. It's like somebody walking in there without the outfit on. They go in and they're contagious. They're contagious with what they got. And now here's the thing. Everywhere they go, they're spreading that contagion because they're so contagious. What was incredible, if you remember in 2020, as you know, we were all watching the news wondering, and wasn't it incredible that that thing would pop up somewhere? Oh, it's in England. Oh, it's on a cruise ship. Oh my gosh, how'd it get over there? Oh, it's in America. Oh, it's on our doorstep. Why? Because every person was carrying it. Not everyone. A lot of people were carrying it. What is my point? It is hard to spread the good news when it's only one person going into the temple. But when he said, it is finished, because it says, I'll just read the scripture to make sure you know what I'm quoting. Because only the purified could go into the temple. But it says, 2 Corinthians, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. He dies so we don't have to perform the law anymore, so we can now be righteous and receive Jesus, right? Here's the crazy thing, a little further, the book before it, 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? By the way, that was so blasphemous for him to say that. For him to declare somebody else as a temple when the whole Jewish life revolves around the temple was absolutely incredible. So he now says, listen, you're the temple. Jesus says it's finished. The veil is torn. What is my point? Man, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you have righteousness, you need to be contagious because resurrection life is inside of you. It is no different than watching Nolan up here. How many knew that Nolan was contagious? Not with a pandemic. Come on, the minute he starts like, he starts doing his little faces, we're all like, oh, leaning in. Can I ask you why every Sunday we don't lean in a little more? I'll tell you why. Because sometimes religion gets in the way. We get all this stuff that confuses us. It's not really this stuff. It's really what, you know, one denomination will form and then it's another denomination. And it's really interesting because Paul actually says the Gentiles and Jews become one. And that is actually becoming a sacrifice to each other where we put away all this stuff. Because I'm telling you, when those that were not Jewish, they did not go back and try to understand all this. What they heard was, and what they saw was a resurrected man in another person. And it was contagious. And they would be like, well, we don't understand all this. And they didn't sit down and go, well, let me start at the beginning. There's a video I wish we could play. We will post it. And it just, man, it marks the spot. I can't even do it justice, but it's this older man. I don't even know when it was done. I don't even know who it is, but he is sharing how amazing it must have been when the sinner on the cross entered heaven. because he died, like literally seconds before he's about to die, he says, Jesus. First of all, by the way, if you back up, he's mocking Jesus, one gospel says. But then a little while later, he must have realized as he's dying, this man must be the Son of God. And he says, hey, remember me in paradise. He says, remember me. Jesus says, I'll remember you in paradise. The minute that he dies, this preacher goes into how interesting and awkward it must have been in heaven and for that man to be like, I just made it to heaven. And they're probably like, how did you get here? And he says, I don't know. And then the angel's like, well, do you know the doctrines of justification? He's like, never heard of it. And he goes through all these things. Did you read all the scriptures? No, I did not. And then he says, he calls, this is the preacher acting out, calls his supervisor, and the supervisor asks him some questions. And he says this, he says, how did you get here? And he says, all I know is the man in the middle of the cross said I could come. I dreamt this morning of our church being the church that churches, not just our church, but that the love of Christ so infills us that some of the things that we just get in the weeds about don't matter. There's a lot of weeds in Christianity. But all I know is that I can go, you know what? I don't understand everything. Even as a pastor, I don't ever understand. If you're looking for the theologian and you want me to understand everything, I don't. But what I do know is that the resurrection Jesus fills your life, gives you hope when there's no hope, heals sometimes miraculously, contagious like Nolan, where we look at him and we're drawn to him. I'm like, Lord, I want to be that person and those people and that church again, where people walk in and they go, I don't understand everything, but there is something that you have that I would really like. And all I know is when that veil was torn, for the first time in history, we could all come boldly to the throne. You talk about everything changing. Listen, you would have been watching so far away if you were still Jewish, if you were Jewish, if you were allowed to go. You would have been watching the priest. I'm telling you, I didn't realize. I was looking, researching it. Like the temple's small, but the courtyard is massive. Why? Because they had all the people coming three times a year and they had to have them all come in, all their lambs, everything that they brought. So if you're lucky, you're watching the priest go in and I'm like, how cool would that be? He's meeting with God right now. And all I know, when that veil was torn and Hebrews now says, listen, you can boldly come. You don't have to hesitate anymore. You can walk to the front and it could be anywhere. I'm just using church as an analogy, but you can go and worship and you can meet like Moses face to face with me. Come on, does that get anybody excited? You're like, I don't hear God's voice. I don't hear the audible voice of God. If you do, that's amazing. Come touch me. Put your hands on me. Very few people I've ever met have ever heard the audible voice, but how many have heard the knowing voice of God? And you're like, man, that sounds a lot like me, but I wouldn't think that. Have you ever had that? It's like, wow, that's me. No, it's not. I don't think like that. It's got to be God. Like Claude, do this man's work for free. Well, I wouldn't think that normally, so it's got to be God. You get to hear God's voice. You get to read scripture and feel and see his presence. Sometimes you just close your eyes and go, Lord, I don't feel anything, but all I know is that you are resurrection life, and I get to step into your presence. One person from the lineage of Aaron only once a year, and now he's like, it is wide open for everyone. So why is Resurrection Sunday so incredible? Because that same resurrection, the same Holy Spirit, the same power, turn to Ephesians, I'll read one more thing and we're going to close, is now inside of you if you receive Jesus. I realize that should make us shout. It's a little late. Ephesians 1. This is one of my favorite scriptures, verse 15. But we're going to get to the point at the end. It says, therefore, I also, this is why Paul's praying the same thing that I'm talking about. He says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What is this power? It's the same power that raised Christ. Working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. That same power that raised him from the dead is now in you and I. That Holy Spirit that he breathed on his disciples is the same Holy Spirit that you receive. Now there is infilling after infilling, but when you say, Holy Spirit, come into my life, he's like, he doesn't go, well, maybe. How good are you? If you go back to that, that's religion. See, that's the weeds. No, he says, you are now righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. So I basically say, Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. I receive. You have sprinkled blood just like you would have back in the day, but it's the blood that never stops. It never stops. Once and for all, I receive you. And because of that, I am now righteous. So Holy Spirit, would you come into my life and fill me? And that's something you can do on a regular basis. And he fills you. You say, I didn't feel anything. Neither did I. I told you the story last week, promise keepers. Walking up, felt nothing, went back. My life was different. I wish I could tell you the angels sang. I'm sure they were. I didn't hear them. All the prophetic people would have been like, oh, there's like three angels behind you. I don't see angels. But I can feel when God shows up. So I encourage us as we go throughout our day, and what has Jesus done for you? If nothing else, you were dead and headed to hell because there are none that are righteous. People are like, oh, it's so hard. Well, all I know is that there's a path and I was headed there. And when I received Jesus, I came into life. And when I got that life, it's now going, I want to be contagious with that life. Just like a virus, but in a good sense, where everybody sees me. What is that life on you? And I go back. I'll finish with this story. I go back to that day when the pandemic started and everybody was going out to the grocery stores. And I kind of thought it was interesting. Funny, the panic for toilet paper. All the things that we chose. And I remember standing in line with fear-driven people. I can't remember what series we're on, but I thought I should just put some of this stuff into practice. I wasn't trying to be like, I wasn't super spiritual at all. I just thought, I'm going to change the atmosphere. And I started to just joke around with people. And I was calling Krista and asking just stupid things I saw on the line if we needed it because of the craziness. And this girl behind me started, this woman older than me, she just started to converse with me. And I started to get her laughing. And before you know it, our whole line is kind of joking around. And we get to the till and I get groceries. I wasn't storing up, you know. And I'll never forget, I think it was either the girl behind me or in front of me. She grabbed me and she said, I am so thankful that you were beside me. I needed that. I thought, really, that is God in us. That's a different contagion that we have. And that contagion comes because every day, just like this morning, we can wake up and I can grab my coffee and I can slide through the veil that was ripped. And I can go, hello, God. I'm so thankful that you did that. Because I'm not on the out anymore. I can boldly come before your throne. Isn't that arrogant? Absolutely not. The only reason I get to boldly come before the throne is because of what he did, and absolutely nothing that I've done. Why don't you stand? One of the scriptures that I didn't read that Peter talks about, it's so interesting. If you remember last week, I was sharing the fact that when Jesus is dying on the cross and they're sacrificing in the temple, they're sacrificing lambs, that they're reading Psalms. And it's so interesting. In Psalm 118, I won't turn to it for time, but in Psalm 118, one of the last things that's said, and these are the Psalms that are being read simultaneously as Jesus is dying, the Psalm is that the cornerstone that the people rejected. They literally read that out, sacrificing lambs while Jesus is on the cross. And then Peter picks that up later on and goes, he says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are built up to be a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. He literally picks it up. He says that one that they rejected is now our heavenly priest. And now we all get to be priests. Why is he saying that? Because only the high priest get to go in the throne room. And he's like, we're all high priests now. We all get to go in the throne room where it's chosen people. So turn to your neighbor and say, man, it is so amazing. If you know Jesus, you're a chosen one. Now here's a question for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Maybe that's a conversation you need to have with someone. What I hope eventually happens is the next time you're with someone and religion kicks in and like, I don't know if I'm good enough, that you can go, hold on, I got good news for you. Because that's how contagious it should be. Where none of us are good enough. Let me tell you about Jesus, who was good enough. Set somebody free, amen. Father God, we thank you for today that this is Resurrection Sunday. The veil was torn. We get to come into your presence. Lord, I thank you that in that moment, in 3 days, Good Friday to Sunday, everything that we know changed. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a resurrected God. The same spirit that worked in him now works in us. And we can let him out. But I pray as we go about our gatherings or whatever we do today, Father God, that we would be contagious. Lord, I know that there are things in our lives that still need to be worked out. There are challenges, there are confusions, but Lord, we just go back to the cross and we go back to the resurrection and we keep it simple. Lord, you are life. And I pray, Father God, that wherever we go today would be life. May joy be our portion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.